there, and welcome to the Lazy Artpreneur Podcast. I'm Lexi Reed, your friendly guide on this artistic journey. Consider this your shortcut to success, sparing you endless hours on Google and YouTube trying to crack the code of content marketing. In each bite-sized episode, I'll be sharing three easy steps to craft fresh content, repurpose it wisely, and shine a global spotlight on your art. Overwhelmed by tech jargon or tools like AI and Zapier? No worries, this podcast got you covered. Forget about that 50-50 marketing rule. Let's maximize our art and minimize the hustle. Hey there, and welcome to another episode of the Lazy Artpreneur Podcast. I'm your host, Lexi Reed, and this is the second episode. So last week, we talked about the importance of content marketing for artists and the use of the hub and spoke model. So to quickly review, the main takeaway is that you need to have a home base on the internet and that this is considered your hub. The spokes that surround your hub, like spokes in a bicycle tire, these are the breadcrumbs that you put out into the online world. So whether it is your social media posts, blogs you've written, or podcasts you've been a guest on, content is anything that has a relevant story or message for your audience. So this creates a back and forth journey to your hub, the space you've carved out for yourself that you own, and that's not subject to somebody else's algorithm. So after talking about how important it was to have a hub, I thought it'd be great to talk about some key design tips for web design for visual artists. But before we get too deep into the episode about how to create a website that not only showcases your art, but also turns your visitors into fans and hopefully into future customers, I wanted to give you a little bit of a backstory about my own website journey. So way back when, I think back in 2010, so over 14 years ago, I thought it'd be a great idea to start a blog. I was just getting into encaustic painting, and there were all kinds of magazines about art blogging and art journaling, and so I picked up a book called WordPress for Dummies. Following the step-by-step instructions, I figured out how to get a WordPress site, I figured out how to get my domain, and I think I got it from GoDaddy. I basically taught myself how to use WordPress, get it self-hosted, and started uploading my blogs to my brand spanking new website. I tried a blog about once a week, and it was a fairly process-driven blog about how I was learning to do encaustic painting. And it was pretty much a step-by-step process. At that time, I was just using photographs. I wasn't doing anything fun or fancy like making time-lapse videos. It was pretty much a digital scrapbook of photos with a little bit of commentary. You know, this is what I made, and here it is. So fast forward about 5 years to 2015, my family had moved from Milton, Ontario to Victoria, British Columbia. And with this big life cross-country move, I also shifted my medium from encaustic painting to acrylic painting. And so now I have a new style and I wanted to have a new look to my website. And I'd been using a theme purchased from Elegant Themes. I think it was called Chameleon. It was quite nice visually. It was interactive. It was mobile friendly. But, you know, I wanted to have something that didn't always have to show my blog as the main landing page. So I thought to myself, okay, I'm going to get a different theme. And then I accidentally deleted my whole website when I installed the new WordPress theme. And even though I did have some backups, it was basically broken beyond repair. So I started over looking into other avenues for websites, and I decided I didn't want to go the self-hosted WordPress route anymore. I was tired of doing tech fixes and theme updates and trying to make the site's encryption secure. So I reached out to a few fellow artists on Instagram and asked what they were using. And I found out about FASO, F-A-S-O, which stands for Fine Artist Studios Online. I checked out FASO website templates and found one that I liked called Yishu. It was really easy to get started. I just had to send my initial images to them via email and they did the rest. I really liked that their gallery feature was set up for e-commerce right from the website. It also has this really great app feature for mobile, which has like a virtual reality where you can project the image you're painting onto someone's wall as if it's hanging the correct size. You can sort of look through your cell phone and put your painting up on the wall when you look through the cell phone camera app. So my fine art website is Lexi Reed Studio. And when I started the Lazy Artpreneur, I wanted a separate, more art business focused website, one that was very streamlined but would complement my art website. And then I found out that my email service provider, MailerLite, could do both landing pages for my freebies and also host a website on it. And it was really pretty much plug and play with drag and drop blocks, texts, images, videos, and embedded code. It was way much simpler than my WordPress days. I actually managed to get my Lazy Artpreneur website up and running between Christmas and New Year's over the holidays. So that brings us up to date with my website journey. I have two websites as they cater to different audiences, but they complement each other. And that leads us to today's topic, three tips to keep in mind when designing or redesigning your art website. So the first tip we're going to get into is clarifying your personal brand. So first things first, let's talk about your brand. Knowing exactly what and how your personal brand represents, who your audience is, and what message you want to convey to them is crucial. So as a reminder, your website is your hub. It's your central home base for your business. And the main reason we like to have this is because it gives you that independence from relying on a social media platform. So if Facebook or Instagram goes down, you don't have to worry because you have your own separate website. And you can decide how much or how little time you want to spend building it, whether you want to host it yourself or use a hosting platform like Fazo. It's your home base, and you want to have a well-designed website that engages your audience effectively. And this is more than just talking about aesthetics, which we'll touch on a little bit, but you want your website to reflect your personal brand identity. So that could be the colors you pick, it could be the fonts you pick, it could be how you lay it out. You want something that's going to complement the art that you're making and doesn't distract from it. So let's expand on this first step, which is to clarify your brand. You want to understand what you're all about. Like, obviously, you know yourself the best. But you want to talk about what you and your brand represents. You know, who your audience is and what the message you want to convey is key. So imagine your brand as a person. What would they be like? How would they speak to your audience? And this perspective helps you to create a strong and consistent brand identity. You want to remember that your website is the digital home for your brand, so make sure it accurately reflects who you are as an artist. And once you've got this figured out, you can use your brand identity as your North Star when you start making all your subsequent design decisions. So say, for instance, you have a very clean, modern aesthetic. You're not going to suddenly add a whole bunch of fussy, flowery design elements to it. You're going to want to keep it straightforward. You're going to want to have it look crisp, so probably don't add a lot of colors to it. You'll probably want to use fonts that sort of, again, reflect that modernist style. They'll probably be sans serif fonts without those little curlicues on them. Again, very straightforward, clean, modern. And the reason that this step works, clarifying your brand, is it helps you stand out in a crowded marketplace. It makes your decision-making easier when it comes to design and content. Again, using that personal brand identity as your North Star. Visitors are going to be more likely to engage with a brand that resonates with them on a personal level. So the more you can make your brand like yourself and your art, the more you're going to make your visitors who love your art come to your website and also enjoy the experience. All right, so with your brand identity in sharp focus, let's move on to tip number two, defining your website's purpose. You have to ask yourself, what's the primary goal of your website? Is it to showcase your portfolio? Is it to sell your artwork? Or is it to share your art journey through a blog? Is it to offer how-to tutorials and art courses? You want to focus on what you do best. Don't try to be everything to everyone. It dilutes your message. You want to make your main offering as obvious as somebody lands on your homepage. Think about this carefully. You want to clearly articulate your site's main goal. Are you to have them land and find artwork for sale? If so, make that process very easy. You want to highlight your primary artworks by offering them for sale prominently on your website with an easy buy now button. If you're teaching art courses, maybe that's what you want to highlight instead of the original artwork. Maybe your artwork is just there to support the making of the art and teaching it to your students. So you want to align your customer's purchase journey with your brand and your audience's needs. If they come looking for a class, make the class easy to find on your website and make it easy to pay for it. If they're looking to buy a piece of art, have the checkout process very forward. Have big buy now buttons. So again, you're trying to avoid being everything to everyone. You want to focus on your strengths because not everything is going to have, otherwise you're going to have very mixed messaging on your website. All right, so why does this step number two work? Having a focused purpose helps to guide your visitors effortlessly to what they're looking for. They're either looking to buy the art, and there's a gallery tab in your main menu that takes them to a page with a buy now button, or they're looking for a class and it's a sign up here button. This helps increase the engagement and reduces the bounce rates. You know, visitors are looking for something and you don't want to trap them in an endless hamster wheel circle of clicking from the landing page to the About Me page. And then they go to another page and it's the blog, but it's not the art they're looking for. They're going to get frustrated and they're not going to actually bother trying to find the painting that they saw on Instagram. And you're going to potentially lose a future customer. So you want clearly defined goals to measure the success of your website. You want to make it very easy and straightforward for your visitors to find what they're looking for. All right, on to our third and final tip. You want to design with your audience in mind. Your website should be all about your audience. You want to use visuals and language that speaks directly to them. You know, it's a conversation with your audience. If you present yourself as somebody who loves natural botanical elements, and you're in the woods walking all the time, having those botanical elements scattered throughout your website. Use images or snippets of where you get your inspiration from. You want to design for the people you aim to reach with your art. So you want to incorporate elements that reflect their preferences. So whether that's a particular style of art or the multimedia content or maybe using interactive features. I talked earlier about that virtual reality thing that I can use with my Fazo website on my cell phone. Now, you want to make it easy for your audience to find what they're looking for. So design with the people that you aim to reach. You want to prioritize the content features that resonate with your audience, right? And again, you're only going to get to know this by seeing what feedback you get. You want to listen to your audience's suggestions to help refine their experience. So definitely work on having clear, engaging content and visuals and anything that's got videos or interactive elements that are, you know, needed front and center. Maybe you land on your homepage and there's a video of you talking, welcoming people to your studio, like a virtual tour, and that could be the introduction to your website. So the reason that this works is by having an audience-centric design, it fosters a deeper connection with your visitors. It's going to make your website more memorable. It's going to encourage repeat visits, and by adapting to feedback, it shows that you value your audience and you're going to build up loyalty and trust with them. You might want to say to people, you know, did you find what you're looking for? Please leave me a comment. Are there ways that I can improve? Definitely ask for that feedback from your audience. Also, keep in mind, you want to have good accessibility for a wider audience reach. For people that are visually impaired, make sure that you have alt text on any images so it can read them in closed captioning. You also want to make sure that your website is easy to navigate. Try to have a menu bar that's very clear, either on the top of your website or on the left-hand side. Just have a few select key tabs. Don't have a bazillion tabs at the top or dropdowns. In addition to your homepage, I would suggest having an about page, shop page or portfolio page, and a contact page. We're going to talk about the content and web copy that goes on these pages in a future episode. So you want to streamline your site to avoid audience confusion. Obviously, you don't want to lead your fans into a maze of forever clicking until they give up because they haven't actually gotten to the portfolio where they wanted to buy that painting. And this comes from regularly testing what they call user paths. Did that person actually find what they're looking for? And you can also look at tools like heat maps on your website to see where they clicked to find things. And these feedback loops are essential for continually improving your website. Don't just think one and done when you finally get it done. Websites are always evolving and you're consistently tweaking them over time. All right, so putting it all together, your website. You can think of it as your cornerstone of your online presence. It's going to be what gives you independence from the social media platforms, and it provides stability, right? This is your home, your hub, your home base. You don't want visitors to bounce. You want them to have a clear understanding of what you offer. If you're selling art, make it obvious. If you're selling courses, make it obvious. You want them to be able to find what they're looking for. Having that focused purpose increases engagement and clarity. You have a strong message of what you're trying to give your audience and continually refine this message based on their feedback. This is what's going to drive success, right? Get a family member or a friend to test drive your website. If their feedback is saying, oh, I can't really figure out where your checkout is, that's helpful feedback. You want to make that easy to find. You don't want to lose potential customers or repeat customers for that matter. So to wrap things up, you know, building an effective website for your art isn't just about throwing together a few images and a contact form. You want to create a space where your personal brand shines, your art speaks, and your audience feels valued. You want to clarify your brand, you want to define your website's purpose, and you want to design with your audience in mind. This is how you set up the stage for success. Remember, your website's the most powerful tool that you have for sharing your art with the world, so you want to make it count. And if you thought these tips were helpful, please give the podcast a positive review, subscribe, and share it with your art buddies. Check out my show notes for free guides on content marketing for artists, including a social media content planner. And if you've got any questions or your own website tips to share, drop them into the comments below or send me a DM on Instagram at Lexi Reed Studio. On next week's episode, I'll be chatting with the British artist Kelly Herrick. We'll be talking about her deep connection with nature influences her expressive art, the balance between creation and the business of art, and the transformative power of creativity in personal and community healing. Till next time, please keep creating and keep being inspired. Bye for now. Don't want to miss out on more tips from the Lazy Artrepreneur? Hit that subscribe button on your go-to podcast platform. And hey, if you've got artist buddies aiming to sell online, share this with them. Thanks for tuning in, and I'll catch you soon.